Good morning, my friends, and welcome to yet another incredible installment of the program. From very high above all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly and permanently ensconced behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the program. Happy Wednesday. I have to confess, my friends, I've recorded this episode in advance. As you're listening to this, I'm taking one more stab at finding the elusive elk to fill my bull tag. I really hope that I don't have to turn it into soup as a consolation prize. The elk permit that I have is a 34 Type 1. For those of you non-hunters out there, that's an any elk tag, which works out great for me. Of course, we have our private property up on the mountain, and then there's plenty of national forest in Area 34. But a large portion of Area 34 to the east side of that elk area is all private land. A good portion of it are hay meadows. And of course, when there's a big snow on the mountain, all the elk hightail it off the mountain down to the hayfield where they can get a nice, easy meal and definitely avoid the gigantic blizzard that hit the peaks right after they left. I bring this up simply because a giant herd of elk can do a number on a hay meadow, and in Wyoming, you can be reimbursed for any damages that wildlife do to any of your crops. It used to be, several years ago, that if you were taking crop damage payments from the Game and Fish or whatever federal grant they get their money from, then you had to allow hunting on your property. Of course, you were allowed to charge a modest access fee for someone that wants to go kill an elk on your property, but it couldn't be too exorbitant. The other part of this is those payments were public record. That is, if you were looking for a place to go hunt off the mountain, all you had to do was look up and find out who was taking crop damage payment, give them a call, and avoid the unpleasant circumstance of having to eat your hunting license. In the last few years, however, I've heard from a number of different sources that landowners who were most definitely taking crop damage payments were not allowing hunting on their property without paying an exorbitant fee. Two of my friends paid $250 this year apiece to go shoot two bull elk. To put it bluntly, I'll eat my hunting license in a turkey sandwich before I pay anybody who's taking tax dollars because of crop damage. What's more is it would appear that those crop damage payments are no longer public record. Or at least the Game and Fish isn't coughing up those names. In any case, it sounds a little fishy to me. So, if you were one of those hunters that were told by the Game and Fish that crop damage payments were confidential and couldn't be divulged to you, or if you were one of those hunters that had to pay an exorbitant fee to shoot an animal off private land when you knew for certain that that landowner was taking damage payments, contact me. Send me a message. The email is david@cowboystatepolitics.com, or you could just simply shoot me a Facebook message. That's a pretty easy way to get a hold of me as well. So, if you want to help me with this little investigation, now you know how to get a hold of me. A quick program note. Just to let you in on something I've been working on for the program, very soon we're going to have a Ditto Cam that you can view right from cowboystatepolitics.com. The idea is, while I'm doing my weekday show on the Independence Network, you can watch exactly what's happening in the Cowboy State Politics studio. As you all know, I've been a little reticent to do that. But I've decided that it might be worth the effort to put that up so that you can see exactly what's happening at Cowboy State Politics Northern Command. Just a little hint of what's coming, and I've also been working on a couple of other investigations that aren't quite ready for prime time yet, but very, very soon I'll be able to tell you what I've been up to. That being said, as you may have noticed, I didn't do a Veterans Day special on Weekend Update. The reason for that is I was busy helping the lovely Christine with all of her Veterans Day efforts. She was doing free haircuts at her salon for any veteran that came in. And she also, wisely or unwisely, allowed your illustrious host to take control of her podcast, The Hair Affair with Christine, and do a live show right from the salon. It was a heck of a lot of fun. At 11:11, her dad, Jim Sturdivant, showed up and conducted a moment of silence in the middle of the salon for all of the veterans that were in attendance. He spent 27 years in the United States Navy, and we'll talk to him in just a second. But first, I want to just play for you the moment of silence. At 11:11, on November 11th of 2023, here's Master Chief Petty Officer Jim Sturdivant.
This is the day that we remember all veterans who have served and who are still serving, as we do now, is we have Red Friday also, which is called Remember Everyone Deployed. And since our armistice back in World War I was signed at 11:11, we will now have a moment of silence. Amen.
World War I was to be the war to end all wars. No one thought that we would once again sink to the depths of human misery like that ever again. But if there is one constant in the world, it is that history always repeats itself. It seems that we humans are unable to eliminate our baser instincts. And while we celebrate Veterans Day, on Armistice Day, November 11th, the day that the guns went silent, we have to remember that they never truly do. And it should be a constant reminder to be thankful for each and every person that has or does put on a uniform. The greatest force for peace in the world is the United States military. And I, for one, am forever grateful for all of your service. Thank you very much. After the moment of silence, I had a chance to sit down with the Master Chief for a few minutes and get his thoughts on a couple of things. His full rank and title is Master Chief Petty Officer, Master at Arms, Jim Sturdivant. Here's our conversation. So this is Master Chief Jim Sturdivant. Jim, you were in the Navy, right?
Yes, sir, for 27 plus years.
27 years. So undoubtedly you went to a number of places. Why don't you just give us a list of places that you went for people that didn't listen to your interview?
Overseas, Southeast Asia, Japan, Hong Kong, Vietnam, 2 years almost in country there. People in this country don't realize, especially when you've been over in the Asian countries, how lucky they are and what they have here, even our little spoiled brats here in this country, and that's what I'll call them, spoiled brats. Because people over there live on probably, back when I was in, about $20 a month.
Wow.
And these little kids here, little snivelers, if they can't have a couple of $100 a month and $50 an hour, they're not happy.
Right. You know, I've have a couple of friends that one of them is a missionary, and she went to Africa. And one of the questions I asked her when I interviewed her was, is there anybody poor here? And she didn't answer. She just laughed. Later, you know, after she stopped laughing, she said, look, even poor people here are wearing a pair of tennis shoes. They have a cell phone. They probably have a car. It's probably not a nice car, but they still have a car. And if you have all of those things, you're not poor. And certainly just living here, poor, wealthy, whatever, you're blessed beyond anybody else's even conception of the word. Of that word. I mean, you went to all these different countries and met people that have no idea what freedom is.
No. And that's one of the things that the United States is good for, is standing up not only for our own freedoms, but helping others stand up for their freedom when you got an oppressor that's trying to take them over.
We'll get back to the Master Chief in just a second. But first, an absolutely outrageous profit timeout. My friends, it's Wednesday, and you know what that means, don't you? Gun of the Week time from Gunrunner Auctions. The Gun of the Week is lot number 31. It's an IMI Desert Eagle 50AE. Apropos, don't you think that the gun of the week is made by Israeli military industries? This pistol is definitely not for the timid or the beginner shooter. In excellent condition, with a 6-inch barrel that has an excellent bore. It has a detailed front sight. The textured black grips are in excellent condition. It includes 4 blue steel magazines. It's got the modular system that allows other barrels to be quickly changed and fitted. In the 50 caliber, this one is definitely a must-have for any gun nuts collection. And it can be yours. It's lot number 31 at GunRunnerAuctions.com. Cowboy State Politics is also brought to you by Morton Buildings. They're the experts in metal building construction, and it doesn't really matter what type of building you've been considering for your property, whether it's a garage or a barn or a roping arena or maybe even a giant warehouse for your business. Give the experts a call, Nick and Jesse. Their phone number is 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at MortonBuildings.com. Today's program is also brought to you by Rebecca Bextell at Compass Real Estate. If you're thinking of buying or selling, you need a real estate agent that you can trust. That agent is Rebecca Bextell at Compass Real Estate. Her phone number is 307-699-3519. Last year, she sold around $25 million worth of property, from small residential properties all the way up to big giant ranches. So if you need a real estate agent with experience and one that'll shoot you straight, give Rebecca a call. Again, her phone number is 307-699-3519. And now, back to the program. What do you think's happening? What do you think about what's happening over in Israel?
People better look at their history, which they don't like to teach in school anymore. Number one, the Israelis are not holding the Palestinians hostage, as people want to think. They were given their own freedoms. They were given all kinds of seeds and stuff to start because they got good agricultural land. What'd they do? Hamas took over, won any elections.
They voted Hamas in.
They destroyed everything that was left for them. The Israelis were not holding them hostage at all.
Heck no.
All the Israelis were doing is like our country needs to do is secure our borders, and that's what they were doing over there, was keeping their borders secure from those that don't belong in there that want to kill people.
Well, it's fascinating to me is that in 1988 is when the Palestinians said, hey, we're free and independent. And it took a while till Israel actually said, okay, you can have the Gaza Strip. And at that point, Palestinians literally did have their own country. Granted, it's a small one. It's only about the size of Washington, D.C., but they had their own election. They voted in Hamas. They have the ability to run that country any way that they want. Yep. And instead, they chose to attack another sovereign nation.
And if some of our people would read what's going on over there, they would find out that Hamas is very good about doing things. They built missile launchers under daycares.
Oh, yeah.
They've built headquarters under hospitals. But the people here do not want to understand that. They don't know what it's all about. They need to get a life and find out what's going on overseas. I've been there, seen it, and it makes you mad for some of the stuff that they do. You have to step back. But the things that happened over there in the Mideast is wrong.
Now, I probably already know the answer that you're going to give me to this next question, just because I've had the pleasure of knowing you for a while. So recruitment numbers are way down for all branches of the military. I mean, all the way across the board. Why is that?
Well, I would say from what I have read and some of the people that I've talked to, we're getting too much wokeism and we're hurting somebody's poor little feelings. Well, in the military, you can't do that. You got to be a regimented group. You've got to be able to cover each other's back. They talk about, all this diversity and all the division that's going on. My partner in Vietnam when I was in country was black. I didn't look at him as black. He was my partner. We kept each other's back. We travel together all over the country. We do the same thing on ships. We don't care what color you are. If something happens and the ship gets hit, we're all one.
Yeah, you're all going down together.
That's right. We don't care. We all work together. I've got friends that are black. I got friends that were Spanish. I got friends that, you know, all ethnics. And they're friends. I don't care what color they are.
So it's Veterans Day, and I know you've got to get down to the post here real quick, but if there's one thing that you could say, you know, maybe about Veterans Day or to anybody that's listening, what would that be?
Thank your veterans that are out there. There's not enough thanking. I heard a statement over at the post office the other day. Young lady said, thank you for your service, and I told her, you're welcome for it. And she said, you know something? That's not said enough to you guys. Because you put your life on the line, and that's why we have what we have.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you, Jim. I'll let you get to the post.
You're welcome.
And we'll probably see you a little bit later.
Okay. Maybe I'll jerk on.
I'll buy you one.
Whiny, spoiled brats. I love it. And why shouldn't veterans of the Master Chief's tenure think that? They have every reason to. We live in a time where people join the military to get gender transition treatment, whatever that is. Earlier this summer, according to the New York Post, the United States Navy invited an active duty drag queen to be a, quote, digital ambassador as part of a recent drive to attract the most talented and diverse workforce to combat plunging recruitment. That drag queen is actually Yeoman Second Class Joshua Kelly, who identifies as non-binary. Uh-huh. What does any of that have to do with the United States military? Not one single thing. The United States military has one job, to fight and win wars. Period. A lot of what's happening in the United States military right now bears no resemblance to what their actual job is. And I doubt that the Navy's drag queen recruitment drive yielded any positive results, and even if it did, I'm not convinced that that is the type of military that this country needs. And so, the Master Chief has a lot to justifiably be irritated about. Still, though, I wouldn't suggest telling him that the United States Navy is anything less than the most superior force on the high seas. All right, moving on to the Pravda on the Platte. An update to another ridiculously stupid idea from the Judiciary Committee that I told you about on Saturday's program. The headline to the story is almost as stupid as the idea courtesy of the Judiciary Committee, entitled, Too Few Lawyers to Go Around. I don't think that that's ever been the case, nor do I think that anybody would agree with them, except, of course, for lawyers and the moronic redcoats that are on the Judiciary Committee. And I quote, but the free market aside, people have a right to a fair trial. Laramie Democrat Representative Carly Provenza said, and the current structure doesn't give everyone access to that. What's more, the matters that attorneys deal with dictate whether or not people have access to their kids, she said. They concern, possibly, revoking someone's freedom and liberty. End quote. Hold the phone. You do have a right to a fair trial. One question for this piece of drivel's author, Maya Shimizu Harris. Have you ever heard the sentence, if you cannot afford an attorney, one will be provided for you? I guarantee that everyone else has, except Maya Shimizu Harris. Even if there isn't an attorney in the town, if you require criminal defense, the state will provide you one courtesy of its public defender's office. Never mind those little details. They evidently don't make for good headlines. But the last part of this is even more interesting, and I quote, what's more, the matters that attorneys deal with dictate whether or not people have access to their kids. That part is absolutely true. But in classic Casper Star Tribune form, they fail to point out one little detail. If you happen to have gotten yourself into a situation that requires a divorce and thus a custody proceeding, that's your fault. You're the one that created the divorce, and you are most definitely the one that created the kids and thus the custody proceeding. It is your fault that you have to go to court, and nowhere in the Constitution are you guaranteed the right to an attorney who will effectively win your custody dispute with your now very disgruntled ex-wife. That's your responsibility, and not the responsibility of the taxpayer. We already pay for lawyers to deal with the criminal mess that you have created. It is not the role of government to pay for an attorney to make your life and your screw-ups more convenient. The last part of Harris's article is equally as laughable. Let me quote it to you again. What's more, the matters that attorneys deal with, quote, concern possibly revoking someone's freedom and liberty, end quote. As I already pointed out, you already get an attorney for that, whether or not someone lives in your dinky Wyoming town. The aforementioned phrase, one will be provided for you. I can't vouch for the skill set of the attorney that was provided for you after you got yourself into a criminal mess. As with everything in our society, the more skilled the labor, the more it costs you. But of course, Maya, Shimizu, Harris, Carly Provenza, and every idiot on that Judiciary Committee wants you to just brush aside the free market, as if it doesn't apply to lawyers. They'd rather that government just run everything. That way, everybody can be treated the same. Really, every legislator that voted for this dumb bill is advocating for mediocrity. When everyone is paid the same, no one will excel. And why should they? They're going to get $16,000 of your money every year. Note, every time that I've talked about this dumb lawyer subsidization program, I have resisted the urge to quote Henry VI, though I'm not saying that it isn't apropos. In other fantastic news from Wyoming's legislature, our esteemed legislators on the Revenue Committee have successfully dispatched with the only real, meaningful reform for our overvalued property tax system, acquisition value. If you're unfamiliar, that's the idea that the taxes that you pay on your home are requisite to what you paid for your home. You know, the way every other kind of tax works in this state. Leading the charge, and no surprise to anyone, is former Redcoat Speaker of the House, Steve Harshman. You know, this guy.
So what's happened in these states that have done caps? And some of them are wealthy states, but really, who's benefited? The rich are going to benefit the most. They're going to benefit the most.
Tax cuts for the rich, Steve Harshman. The other Redcoats and Democrats that voted with him were Senator Stephen Pappas, Andrew Byron of Jackson, Democrat Liz Storr, Ember Oakley, Dan Zwanitzer, and David Northrup of Powell. Fortunately, we have an election coming up, but it's too bad these people are in office for one more session. I hope you remember all of their names, each and every time you write a check to your county's treasurer's office. I remember a time when Republicans were in favor of tax cuts. Ah, the good old days. In any case, more reasons to get rid of more people in our state legislature. Well, that'll about do it for today's installment of Cowboy State Politics. Have a good rest of your week, and we'll talk again on Saturday during Weekend Update. Don't forget about the live program, which begins every weekday morning at 9 a.m. on the Independence Network. But for now, from the base of the Bighorns, at the Cowboy State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.